ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order.
Hey, welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. I'm not going to eat up much of your time, so let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
Tony, you have several different programs that you're currently offering, and some of them are starting to be you have a literacy project and an after-school program that you are starting with this school, this football academy school.
Yeah.
So what direction are you planning on going? Let's start off with the literacy project that you have.
The literacy project is something that we created while I was at Wrexham Football Club. We had funding from the government at the time to run a program because we had lots of issues with in the UK at the time, boys reading levels were not at the level that they should be, mainly because boys just weren't interested in reading books that they had no interest in. So we created an initiative that we would go into schools for 10 hours. 5 hours would be in the classroom based all around like different types of literacy readings, and then the other 5 hours would be they'd go out on the soccer field and play. So we go into school, say for example, every Monday from 9 to 11. The first hour would be classroom based stuff, and then the second hour would be outside playing soccer, playing football. The kids could only go outside and play football if they achieved their classroom objectives. And in the UK, and what I'm seeing the same as in the US here, is that everybody wants to play sports, so they'll do whatever they need to do to get outside and play. So the Literacy Project classroom work was, without giving too much away, and they can find obviously a lot more of this on the website, they devised match reports. So the first part of the classroom activity is kids would then read newspaper clippings or online articles of a selected soccer game of their choice. They would then be tasked with creating a match report of their own. And it could be fictional, you know, if they play for middle school or they play for a club team or a rec team, it has to be some type of match report on something that they've played in, something that they've seen, something that they've made up. So who played? What was the score? Where was it played at? What minute of the day, what minute of the game was the goal scored? Who by? What type of goal was it? So looking at finding as much detail as possible in that match report, as if other people were not at the game, but they want to know exactly everything that happened. What was the weather like? Was the referee poor? Did he make any red cards? What was the changing moment of the game? Just something to read about. And then the kids obviously have to devise their own match report, whether that's handwritten or whether that's on a Word document. Another part of the literacy project is they then have to create 10 questions. So they've gone from being like a journalist to now a sports media or an interviewer. They have to come up with 10 questions to ask a coach or a former player. I know lots of semi-professional players through the Vaqueros who are still in town. That coach or player would then come into the school, and the kids would then actually interview the player or coach with those questions. So, for example, how did you get into playing soccer? What's it like to be a semi-professional soccer player? Have you ever been injured? So it's just getting them to read and write about different aspects of the sport, but also now it's improving their presentation skills. It's improving their confidence. And we've actually just signed we've signed some type of contract, or the Wrexham Texans have signed a contract with the city of Fort Worth to go in and deliver some of these literacy projects throughout their summer camps, which is pretty neat for us, at their recreational centres. So we're hoping, like with me working in the school district and seeing lots of reading levels that are not at the levels they should be, I think this could be a project that's going to, one, help elevate interest in reading, but also the beauty about this literacy project is it's ours, we own it. It doesn't have to be a match report, for example, about soccer. It could be kids don't like soccer, but they're really interested in basketball. It could be football. It could be girls doing something to do with gymnastics and the Olympics coming up. It's very broad, but with the honing in on literacy. Kids have to read. Kids have to write. You know, I know some kids that unfortunately can't tell the time. You know the old school clock that you've got behind you?
Yes.
Like, what's that? Because it's all digital. I think we have to, like, go back in time a little bit, and not so much get back to pen and paper, but get to reading books and get to reading newspaper articles and just getting to read in general.
Now, I think that's it's hard, because I think most kids that play sports think they get a pass because they play sports once they're at a certain age. Some schools actually allow it. I know it's being cracked down more and more on here because education is so valuable, and if they want to go on to the next level, they actually need good grades. They need to be ready for the collegiate world if they're going that route, or the work world if they're going that route, or
yeah,
it might be whatever type of schooling they're going on to if it's a trade school. And I think starting at a young age and getting them ready for it by making it something they're interested in is key. I you talk about the clock behind me, it's a face clock, and my daughter tells me, she's six, she goes, I can tell the time on your watch. It's a digital watch. She goes, I can't tell you the time on that. We need to work on that. And she's six and she understands this. And then, and making it about what they're interested in, I think that's key. I think you'll have a lot of success there. Then,
and this is one thing that we're doing in the classroom. The district that I'm working in now is they're really focusing now a lot on And I know we're going off topic a little bit here, but this is something that I think the Wrexham Texans can help school districts, not just with the literacy side, but I think how we can use soccer as a tool or as a vehicle to get these kids interested, find your passion. And we're doing a lot of work right now on, what interests you? Let's find out what interests you first, because you know what? If you want to go to a trade school, why are you spending 4 years going to a college that doesn't even offer the degree that you're going to be, that's the line of work that you're going to be in? You know, my wife is a perfect example of that. She has a degree in law, and she has a full-time job in the mortgage business. It's like, why have you still got that student debt? You're not even using that degree. So I think by using soccer as that passion, it's like, because soccer is not going to obviously give kids, there's going to be a very small percentage that leave school and go straight into full-time soccer, you know? Never take that passion, that dream away from them, obviously, but it's just go and do something that you're in. We're working a lot with school districts right now on making sure that when kids go to high school, they're actually selecting the correct course subjects that they want to be in, because they don't want to go 2 years through high school and then realize, you know what? I don't want to do this elective because I don't really want to be in choir because I can't sing. They've just wasted 2 years of their high school years to now just go and get something else. So, yeah, we're going off tangent a little bit, but I just think we can definitely link in with the schools and the literacy project. I know it worked a lot. We had over 2,000 students a year. And think North Wales is a pretty small place compared to North Texas. I do believe that this is something that will definitely help school districts move forward with elevating the game of soccer or elevating the game of whatever sport of their choice.
How do I describe this? It's more. I tell my son, and I tell other people, soccer is a tool to create life skills through. I tell my son, my goal is to make you better in my weaknesses as an adult and have you be better at them than I am by using soccer as part of that. And if we're able to teach him to communicate better, you have to communicate on the soccer pitch very well with your teammates, and you can translate that into everyday life. You're going to be farther ahead even after you're done off the pitch, whatever age that may be, or if you continue playing. Even if you have a 9-to-5 and you still play or coach, you still have to be good at communication and you still have to be good at these things. And the game teaches you those lessons. And I think using academics and finding that purpose for these young athletes is critical, because it allows them to find joy alongside of the sports they play and see the importance of it. I think as parents, and you as an educator, you can get behind, understand that. And now this goes back to like what you've talked about and many other coaches have talked about. It's just like everything else. If we treated sports like school, where we would be part of the solution and not be demanding of the solution, I think, because in education, parents don't come to their teachers and demand them to give them A's. They demand, they ask, how can we help our student become a better student? Not my student's this, this, and this. And I think having that approach, aligning each other, might actually, with sports or other activities, if it's outside of sports, might help these young players, young kids, be more successful in academics and then transitioning into adulthood.
And it's a confidence thing as well, Ian. It's all about, we have a girl that comes to my class who, she scored a goal on Monday in practice. I've seen a different mentality in that kid now in the classroom, because she's full of confidence. She's walking in with a smile on her face just by that one instance, that one moment. I'm not going to tell her that the goal she scored, the goalkeeper should have had it, and it was a complete fluke. But who cares? I'm not going to take away that moment for that kid. So it just brings a lot of confidence, but we have to be careful. It's like a double-edged sword. It can go as a confidence thing, but then it can go the opposite way as well. We got to make sure that we have that balance.
Right. I think that's very key. And I like that you're not just building Wrexham Academy just on the sport, but you're building it on the total player. And I think we always tell my son, it's like, you have to be able to read. You have to be able to read your contract and understand what your contract is saying. You have to be able to read books, because your coaches will give you assignments, and some of it is reading. I mean, you never know what in the beautiful game or any sport or any part of life that someone will throw at you, that life skills that you have to learn at a young age. And this actually feeds into the other part of what you're doing. It looks like you have an after-school program that you're trying to start up with this. Is this more because you're trying to help parents find a way to foster the love for the game and give them guidance after school? Or is this more of the continuing of building this great foundation that you've laid out with the literacy program project that you've already started?
Yeah, the after school programs and the literacy project obviously are two different programs. They don't intertwine. They don't interlink. The after school programs are there to support players of all levels. So there's probably three parts to it. One, I know a lot of parents struggle for elementary schools to pick their kids up at 3 o'clock. By providing an after school program till 4 o'clock, that extra hour makes a bit of a difference. But it's not just an after school club where we are playing board games, or there's an iPad, get on with it for an hour, and you know, mom and dad will be with you at 4 o'clock. It's to do with raising physical activity levels and participation levels in soccer. But again, going back to the conversations we've had for many years, kids traveling from Fort Worth over to Plano, McKinney, we are bringing this after school program to the doors of these elementary schools. So as soon as the kids finish school, they have 10 minutes, 15 minutes to then get themselves dressed out, ready to do an hour of soccer practice afterwards. Raising participation levels, raising awareness of the sport, making all the kids aware that in 2 years, there's a little thing happening 30 minutes away from Fort Worth called the World Cup. This summer is the Copa del America, I think it is. Next summer is the World Club Cup. So for the next 3 summers, all eyes are going to be on the DFW Metroplex, because there's going to be a lot of top, top, top players, a lot of elite clubs that are coming in to the town, or to the town, to the city. And the after-school clubs are just there to raise that awareness of, listen, I don't care if you've never kicked the ball before, this is what we're bringing to the table for you. Now, the flip side, how that filters into the training center within the Wrexham Texans or within the football academy, is that you're going to get players in those after-school programs who are probably a little bit more developed than other players. And you know, you've had a kid, you know, kids that have played. It's like, right, what's next? I don't want to be playing in a rec league where my son's scoring 6 goals every game, or my daughter's, you know, conceding 0 goals as a goalkeeper. It's like, right, what are they being tested in? So the better players then from the after school clubs, or the more talented players, or even the ones with potential, can then be invited into the training center, whether it's the school of development or the center of excellence. The after school clubs are aimed mainly though towards elementary schools. So then you've got grades 2, 3, and 4 that if they go, we like soccer, my kids are natural at it, I don't want to wait for the next after school club, we want more. What can I do? Well, we have another program now called the School of Development. That's every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6:30. And it's all technical touches. And that's hopefully how we're going to filter and channel those players into there. And that's the whole concept of the after school clubs from that perspective, you know. And they only go for like 5 weeks, because I know what's going to happen once that gets up and running. I'm in school till 4 o'clock, so I'm in the process of hiring coaches who will run those after school clubs for me, or for the academy, should I say. That'll be a paid position. I think alone in our district right now, and we have 22, 23 elementary schools. We're right next door to one of the fastest growing districts in the whole of North Texas. Probably got another 20, 25. So there's a lot of kids. There's a lot of potential there. We're right on the border of, you know, Keller ISD as well. So we've got lots of avenues that we can provide these kids. And regardless of the level, regardless of their engagement in the sport, we're just trying to make things aware that the World Cup's coming, the World Cup will leave, what is the legacy and what are the programs that we have in place once the World Cup has left? Because there's an opportunity. There's going to be millions of people coming into the Metroplex. There's going to be lots of people that are still moving in to the Metroplex. I just don't think there's enough quality programs and quality facilities for these kids to play. That's accessible to them. We know in the Friscos and the Bikinis, you've got state-of-the-art, you know, facilities for kids to play. We have those here in Fort Worth. They're within some of the school districts. We just need to utilize those facilities and bring programs to the kids. Sorry, I'm going on again. I keep rabbiting on, but this is something I'm just so excited and passionate about. Every project that I've done, Ian, I've always been excited, but this is something a little bit different now because it's all my ideas I've created the last 20 years now and just putting them all under one umbrella. And it's mine, you know, it's my project. It's my baby, should I say.
It's not a ramble. You're just passionate about what you're doing. And it really shows the listeners that what you're excited to be part of and part of doing. And I think as parents see this and hear this, I mean, right now we're talking relatively young ages. I mean, second through fourth grade, but these programs can be there for even, I don't know if that's your future and we can edit this part out probably.
No.
But it is like, it's the building blocks. I think if we always talk about, I always look at these programs, like what you're trying, I shouldn't say trying, you are creating now and putting out there for the world to see is very much similar to other parts of the world. I don't think people realize that what a true academy looks like. We only hear about it. If you do any research and you have all these parents that are new to the game and they see what a true academy is like over in the EPL or Spain or Italy, they are in school, they are in playing soccer, they're getting touches all day. There's a few of them here in North Texas that have starting to open and be part of our community. But this still allows them to have, I call it the outside touch of the world, where it's not dominated by football or soccer, whatever you want to call it. It is still part of their life, but it's an extension of school and it's an extension of everything else they're doing in their life that allows that flexibility for these players. And you've mentioned it before that you just don't want them to find passion just in soccer. It's finding passion in what they love. And I think that's something that's missing in our society. I think parents are so gung ho, thank you, on finding their home for their player within the game. And sometimes it's the game's bigger than the player. And sometimes the player is beyond the game and they're in another space. And we talked about, the game is an avenue for life lessons and life skills, and you're providing it from a start to finish package.
Yeah.
From a young age all the way up until graduation. And do you work with on the academy side, which I'm circling back to your center of excellence, do you work with college students in that age group then, or do you only go until 18, or is there a moment that you will kind of say, like, you are at this point, I can't help you anymore? Or will you find a way to help kids that have gone through it all or off in college and they come back and want to still participate with you, with Wrexham Texans?
Yeah, I think we go up to, we cater up to U17, or I think maybe, you know, 18 and below. The ultimate goal would be to obviously have something where, you know, kids who don't go off to college, they still have somewhere to play, whether it's a young, you know, it's a young men's league in Fort Worth. That's something that maybe, you know, further down the line. But I think the big picture for me is being the MPSL coach for the Vaqueros. I've built loads of relationships with college coaches across the US right now because they want their top players or players who are returning from injuries to come and play through the summer so they don't go back after 3 months, you know, stale. So it's a difficult one. It's difficult getting players into these college avenues because they all want to go and play in college. That's the dream. They want to go. But my first question is like, right, okay, do you want to stay close to mom and dad? You want to be in Texas? Where do you want to be? Where do you want to go? Oh, I want to go to male. I want to go and play TCU. Okay, well, they don't have a men's program. I'm sorry. So, you know, I want to go to California. Okay, do you know that California is like twice the... What I say to the players is, you want to go to college, give me the top 10 colleges that you want to go to. And let's just break it down from there. So we're trying to provide those avenues. We made a real good contact with a former player that played in the Premier League. We were at Wrexham together. I think I told this story before. He went to Birmingham City for £1 million. I went to a different club on a free transfer. That's how our pathways went, you know. He came over with some of his work colleagues last week. They actually have a program in the UK that 90% of students that they recruit are here from America. They then go to the UK, they play, study for 3 years, but their soccer program is built into their academics. So they would do their academics in the morning, train in the afternoon, and they have a games program where they play over 40 to 45 games a year. It's called I2I Academy. So they are working with us through the Wrexham Texans. We facilitated their Dallas-Fort Worth tour. They went to San Antonio, Houston. And I said to my mate, I was like, listen, you don't go to Dallas this time. Come to Fort Worth. You know, give us a go. There's lots of quality here. And I think we had the largest turnout from their Texas tour with about 40 players, I think it was. So it's not just if we can't provide those avenues, if we can't provide those supports, we have avenues and contacts that can obviously do that for them. So yeah, we're going straight from a four-year-old who's never kicked the ball to now providing pathways for seniors to go and play and study abroad. It's the whole package. It's the whole academy, like what you've talked about before, because that's something that we did when I worked at Wrexham all them years ago for almost seven seasons.
That's awesome. I think that's the thing. This goes back to ego. And I think from the sounds of it, you're letting your ego aside and truly looking at what's in the best interest of the individual. And even at the academy, I don't know you on a coaching level other than the conversations we've had. Right. I just know who you are as a coach through conversations with other people and how much they all have liked you and liked working with you in the past.
That's good. Because most of them stab me in the back. So I'm glad that they're saying good things behind my back instead of like saying good things to my face, not all the time. So sorry, I interrupted you, Ian.
No, you're good. And that's the thing. It is the it's hard to find a coach with ego. And I think there's two forms of ego. I think there's coach ego and player centric ego from the coach. And I will describe that right now because I don't think I've ever talked about it before.
Yeah.
Coach ego is exactly what it sounds. It's all about the coach. And egocentric about the player is the coach sees the potential in the player and they're trying to create their ego is not about them. It's the ego is trying to build the player. It is 100%. Look what this player has done. And this is my work. This is what I have done. But now I might not be able to give this player the next level. I have to pass him on to the next person because he's either outgrown me or outgrown the team that he's on. And I have to let him move on. And that is the thing that you just described in my mind. And it is literally you're more worried about the player's progression than the whole, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's the culture that I want to build within the Wrexham Texans is that we want some of our, and I wouldn't say I hate it, but it's like people always say, oh, we always need our best coaches. We always need our best coaches in the younger age groups. I'm like, no, you need your best coaches everywhere. All your coaches should be your best coaches. So it's like, what is a coach? It's like, you know, a player coming to us and he's a dribbler, but we're trying to get him to receive and pass the ball to switch the play. Why? His strength is dribbling. So find an area on the field where he is going to be successful. It's exactly the same with coaches. You might get a coach that actually enjoys working with just U8, U9, and U10. So why put that kid with a U17 team when it's all about tactics, when the kid is fresh out of college. You're setting the coach up to fail. You're setting the kids up to fail. What I'm trying to build within the Wrexham Texans is that we can have that beauty of, right, I'm identifying coaches who love and have that enthusiasm at U7, U8, U9. That's what they do. That's their passion. Their job is to move them children into the center of excellence, where we have center of excellence coaches who like doing, who really enjoy and thrive doing 11, 12s and 13s. Coaches get paid. We get paid for what we do. It's a job, right? It's not, people say, you know, the pay to play system. And yeah, that's probably a whole different podcast right now, but we are still providing a service as a coach, just like educators are in the classroom, gets paid through the taxes and stuff. If we can find a culture here, and we are doing it, where we find the coaches in the right places and their salaries stay the same. The best thing that I learned from the UK was that you get better satisfaction if I'm coaching a U13, and when that U13 moves up to the U14s with that coach, it's a smooth transition for everybody, for the coach, for the player. You get to work on it again. You get security because, you know, you're always getting that stream of players coming through, and you're not scared of pushing that kid to the next age group because I've done my job now, okay? This player is technically proficient because that's my expertise in technique. I don't care about the tactics because I don't understand it that much. I want to focus on the technical start part. Whereas you, Ian, you might be the tactical expert. Hey, great, Tony. I'm the tactical expert because that's what I love to do. You've created that player who's technically proficient. Now my job as to do the tactics is going to be a lot easier because technically they can do it. Everyone's a winner. Everyone's a winner. And I'm like, why are we doing something different where we're hiding players in certain age groups? And I know I've been there myself. You hide your best players because you move that best player up to a different team inside that club. That's your best player. So then the next kid goes, well, I want to go. I want to go. And then before you know it, you've lost 4 to 5 players. Your team blows up. You lose your salary. It's like, how do I pay my mortgage? It's a different podcast. It's a different story. But I'm just trying to think of how can we, the players are our assets, but most importantly, the coaches are. Coaches are our assets, because if they're doing their job properly and they are happy and they are secure, the players will stay with that coach and the players will stay with that club. I don't want coaches to be at the Wrexham Texans because, oh, it looks a little bit like Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney's club. I want them to be at Wrexham Texans because it's secure. They believe in the system. They believe in our methodology. But most important, you know what? I'm going to look after you. And that's one thing that I don't think I've always had at the clubs I've been at, because every year it's like, my team's going to make? Am I going to be able to pay my bills? Is my best player going to leave me? It's tough out there. Lived it, breathed it. When you have a family and you have a young daughter, it gets worse, because you're like, I might not have two teams next year. I think what we're trying to provide with this football academy right now is it's a training program, so kids from all over can play. But it's, yeah. Anyway, longest answer to your question ever. That, so I apologize. I hope I've not put any of the listeners to sleep. Don't watch this at 10 o'clock at night, by the way. You will be in bed. Yeah, you don't need melatonin. You just listen to Marola. There you go.
No, because you bring up a good point. And now we're going to get super off tangent, because you hit on it. And I think, actually, I'm doing a bringing it back because I want to stay on topic here with Wrexham. You're creating a culture, not just with the players, but you're also creating a culture with the coaches. And I think it's the dog eat dog world when it comes to youth soccer in North Texas. And it's really bad, because if they get a glimpse of getting an extra $5 a player to go move, the coach will leave.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if they have more security with the club. Some of them are actually chasing the dollar and not really the player development. And what you're trying to do with Wrexham Texans is create a culture where pay is suffice for what you're providing. And so the coaches will stay. So you won't have that high turnover and have that constant changing, from the sounds of it, of coaching staff, where you can keep them as long as possible. And doesn't mean they, from the sounds of it, you aren't going to hold them off from doing something else outside of the Texas Wrexhams, but you're going in to provide an environment where, how do I describe it? It's not going to be stagnant among coaching staff, but the staff will be there and the philosophy will be broken all the way from the top, broken all the way down to the bottom. And I think when you have that and looking at it from a parent's perspective as myself, that's cool. And that's very important because that means, like you said, a coach might be specialized in a younger age group and he can go work with that age group. But if the coach in the older age group has to step out for whatever reason, if the culture is the same all the way through, it sounds like you're going to be able to provide that coach that works with that younger group might be able to jump in and hold a session or two with the older group until whatever happens with the other coach comes back and takes back over his role. And I think that is what's missing in a lot of, I'll say it, clubs. I can say that a coach A can't go jump in with coach B's team because they don't coach the same. The philosophy is not the same.
It's the same club.
Within the same club.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're providing is a culture with an academy, which I think parents need to go out and educate themselves the difference between a club and an academy a little bit more. Academy, like we've talked about this whole time, is the technical, individual technical side of the game, where a club is more, should be at the younger age. What an academy is in the club is not about the W, it's about teaching the player how to play the game and teaching them how to make good touches with the ball. And helping and guide them to make those changes. And now you've just taken that whole element of the academy from the club and brought it into a more, I want to say, what's what I'm looking for, more of a less stress, less chaotic environment, and bringing it more to the individual player and working with them more efficiently. That might be the best word of doing it.
And I'll use my wife as an example, because I like to, she never listens to any of my podcasts anyway, so I can bosh her. I can say I bosh her as much as I want. We have my daughter's 6 years old now, Charlie Rose. Hi, Charlie Rose. Get to bed. It's late at night listening to this. My wife keeps saying, she's six. She needs to be in a club. She's been saying this the last 2 years. I see other kids' daughters on Facebook and they're in the gold division and they're winning the local tournaments and she's already behind. I'm like, no, she ain't. She's six. She's five. She doesn't need to be in a club because you know what? She ain't ready. She's going to go and play 4v4 games and lose 17-13 and be disappointed because she didn't win a game. She's not ready. There's parents out there that think that their kid needs to be on a club, and this is not trying to take business or kids away from clubs at all. Parents have the right to choose. I just don't think some parents are educated enough by saying, you know what? Maybe they don't need to be in a club where they're paying $150 a month and I've got to pay $300 for a uniform and then I've got to pay another $200 league fees, referee fees, tournaments in Austin at 7 years old. What is all that about, by the way? Pre-ECNL teams, barely coming out of the womb. It's like, come on, people. You can edit that if you want. But do you see where I'm going from?
They don't
need to be in a club. And if they think, oh, I want my kid at 15, never played soccer before, want them to be in a club. I want them to go and play select football, soccer. No. 15 years old, too late. Save your money. Go and get your kid to do something else. Go and be in an individual sport. Unless they've got natural ability, like what I had when I was 13. I didn't start playing in the club until I was 14 years old because we didn't have the avenues in the UK. Another podcast again, how I got to where I was and how I failed because I was lazy at times. Anyway, parents really need to realize that if the kid's 6, 7 years old and they're not ready, they need to be in some type of program like what we're providing at the Wrexham Texans, or find a club that has an academy that has a technical training program that's going to give these kids the tools for them to be ready to go and play club and go and play games and go and play 7v7. Because if they don't have the technical attributes to do it, they're probably not going to enjoy it as much. But that's not a selling spiel, by the way. The Wrexham Texans is going to take care of itself. People are going to buy into it because they know me, they've spoke to other people, but parents don't need to panic about finding a club. So Colleen, if you are listening to this, we don't need to find a club yet, okay?
But that's the thing. That's the mentality. I think we all get caught up on this social media viewpoint of kids are falling behind. When you actually go and watch those games, are they actually keeping the airplane or the diamond shape on the pitch at 6, 7 years old? I can use my daughter. Her team, when they play a team that's their age and not being put into a level, and I use indoor because indoors, I call it the Wild West of leagues, and they get put with 8-year-olds and they're 6. They can't do what they've been taught to do.
No.
But when they go and play outdoor, which my daughter absolutely loves, they keep their formation. They keep their, but they actually have coaches that get on them because they're out of formation. And when a player, if the defender moves up to the right side, the left defender moves back and everyone kind of shifts. And it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
A bunch of 6-year-olds being able to figure this out. But at the same time, it comes back to actually teaching the game. And I feel like a lot of academies will just, here's our strong player, get the ball to so-and-so. And they're doing exploit the faster, stronger players at a younger age, and that player won't be developed. While the other players that are not as fast and not as big. And I think, like you said, they don't need a club. They need a true academy to teach them. And some clubs actually have it, and most clubs, I will say, don't in the Metroplex. And
unfortunately, most academies are there just to support the financial aspect of the club.
Correct.
When kids move from academies to select, there's a big jump in fees, you know.
Right.
But the training basically stays the same. They might add an extra 15 minutes, but I think what we're trying to do is something completely different. And you know what, Ian, if this one fails, you know, which I don't think it will, I'm a big believer in, you know, you've got to try things, you've got to fail at things in life, and you just push yourself up and go again. This is the one that I truly believe excites me the most, because I'm in control of everything that I believe in. I don't have to ask permission on whatever, you know.
Right.
Whatever.
I think that's the thing, is that parents need to understand that soccer is a journey. It's not a sprint. It is, even if you start kind of late, even at 10 years old, I think there's still a chance. You just have to have the want and drive and the natural talent to be there. Not every player will be like, what's his name? The goalkeeper for the U.S. Men's National Team. He played for Arsenal for a bit. I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Yeah, I can see his face. I don't know.
I can see his face, but he went on to college. Like, he started at 16 playing goalkeeper, and that's not a usual position. Started at 16.
Yeah.
But he had the natural talent, and he had the drive to play the game. And I think there's a difference, and parents need to recognize that. As we wrap this up today, is there any message you'd like to share with families that you think that's important for them to hear at this moment?
They have lots of options, and there'll be a lot of people out there that will tell you maybe what you want to hear. I would suggest at times you need to be honest with yourselves, and coaches need to be honest with families. And when someone tells you, you know, when someone's telling you the truth, you know, when someone's trying to tell you the spiel, the big message for me is, like, go out there and try different academies, try different clubs. And, you know, this is from a younger age group, from a younger perspective now. And just, you'll know, ask questions, a question from a family perspective to a coach would be, you know, do you have a playing philosophy? You know, do you have a technical program? What is the pathway for players to move up and to move up and to move down? Just ask questions of the coach, and normally they'll be able to answer, and you'll know if they're trying to sell you a used car, should I say. And then most importantly for me, I think the take-home message would be just don't panic. Don't panic if your kid is a 6-7-year-old and they're not playing, they're not playing in a team, or they've not found a club. Find somewhere where they're going to develop. Develop the technique first, because if they don't have that technique, and this is one thing I'm massive on, there's a piece on our website. If the players don't have the technique, they are not going to be able to perform the tactic. So if they're not able to dribble the ball, but the coach is asking them to take players on in a 1v1 situation, the players are going to fail because they've not had that technical repetition installed in them. So technique before tactic, not the other way around. If you go to a soccer practice for a tryout and your kid is 8 years old and your coach has a big game on Saturday and they're working on set pieces, you need to say thanks, but no thanks, because that for me is tells me that the coach is just hell bent on winning a game of football. And that's okay. This is why I love coaching. It's all about opinions. Some things that I do, other coaches might disagree with it, you know? And that's fine also. That's just my humbled opinion. And scientifically, so academically, you know, I have a master's and I'm going off tangent quickly, but my master's thesis was on what makes an elite player elite, what makes a non-player non-elite, right? Why are players this high and non-players, why are you here? What's the gap? And you know what the gap was in literature and everything scientifically? It says the only difference that makes an elite player elite to a non-player being non-elite is an elite player knows how to perform technical proficiencies first. So an elite player technically knows how to make those decisions more than a sub-elite player. So guess what you do to bridge the gap? You create a technical program. This is what we have at the Wrexham Texans, a technical program to bridge that gap. But what we're finding is the elite players are getting better. They're catching them up, but there's no limit to the ceiling. So don't panic for parents. Take a look at our website. Take a look at what we're doing. We're over in North Fort Worth. We're probably 20 minutes northwest of downtown. It's pretty cool. At some of the facilities that we use at night, you can see downtown lit up. And our website has been designed by a guy whose company actually audits websites. So he knows what to look for. And the guys helped me out massively with that. So WrexhamTexans.com. If you see us on social medias, you know, we have LinkedIn, you know, your Twitter, your Instagram. I'm still trying to get familiar with TikTok. But yeah, just obviously take a look at the programs that we're doing. We range from 4-year-olds all the way through to 19-year-old elite players you want to go and play in the UK. So yeah, it's exciting. It really is. I'm looking forward to getting it up and running. And listen, seeing where it goes. And who knows, one day Wrexham Texans might be having some famous all Hollywood owners of ourselves wanting to bring their kids to our program. I think they'll enjoy LA more than Fort Worth. But hey, I prefer Fort Worth than LA because it's cheaper. And they don't have the stockyards, people. Y'all, Fort Worth has the stockyards. What does LA have? Beverly Hills and Hollywood. We'll take the stockyards any day.
Hey everyone, I hope you all have enjoyed this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch. This is the last of the part two of the series. Now, Tony will always be changing, just like every program out there, dates and times of the programs based on schedule constraints. So always check up on his website on what's going on, when classes are, when time is for players to get time in with him. I think this is key if you want your players to be successful, if you use his program. What he's offering with these after-school programs, these programs to help better players to be better students, is awesome. And actually taking time to read what he's doing is even better. He, as an educator, he has an upper hand than some of these coaches that are doing this type of stuff. So there's, that's what he has in his back corner and in his pocket, and to help players to advance. Now, if you know anything about this man, he has a presence here in North Texas, and truly take a chance and go look at WrexhamTexans.com, and you'll see all the programs they're offering, the times that they'll be on there, and you'll always be up to date with what he is doing. So if you really enjoy it, give him a chance.
Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.